Name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the seventh day of the sixth month, the year of our Lord, 2015. The title of this lecture is called The Horse That Ran Like the Devil. Or more appropriately, The Horse That Ran for the Devil. Or it could also be titled, A So-Called Blessed Jewish Horse Won the Triple Crown. Which gives you a little hint of what we're going to be talking about here today. Now, just yesterday, on the sixth day of the sixth month, year 2015, American Farrell won the Triple Crown. It's the first time in 37 years that a horse won the Triple Crown. It's a very difficult thing to win. To win that, you have to win the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont Stakes. Well, the reason we say a Jewish horse is because, for two reasons. First of all, the owner is a Jew, all right? And he's a Talmudic Jew. That's one. You can call it a Jewish horse because the owner's Jewish. But the reason we say so-called blessed is because something very diabolical happened with this horse, and the Antichrist is using it to help to support the Lubavitch Rebbe, who's now dead, Menachem Schneerson. This guy's believed to be, by the Lubavitch rabbis and a lot of the Jews, to be the Messiah. They still think he is, even though he's dead. And they're waiting for him to come back to life and to be the Messiah. He's probably one of the most famous Rebbes in the whole world. All right, and you have a lot of tapes that we watch where they say he's coming back from the dead and he's talking to them. I have no doubt that's true. Well, whether or not he comes back from the dead as their Messiah or not, that's questionable. You may have another Jew that comes to power and says he's the Messiah. But the main point is that a lot of people look towards them and it represents Talmudic Judaism, and he's a big Antichrist. And the jockey of American Farrell, whose name is Victor Espinoza, who's a so-called Catholic, he's actually a nominal Catholic, went before the Rebbe's burial place, where he's buried, in Crown Heights, Queens. It's like a shrine now. And people go there and offer up prayers to have their prayers answered. They go to the Rebbe, Menachem Schneerson. Well, this jockey went there and he prayed before this guy's shrine, asking for health and to be blessed and that he may win the Triple Crown, that he can win the Belmont Stakes. It turns out also, we're going to read the article in a minute, that this jockey also got blessed by a rabbi before the Preakness. And they won that also. They really won that one by a lot. And he tells you about how great he felt after it. We're going to read about that. And how much confidence he's putting into this Antichrist, Menachem Schneerson, and the Lubavitch Rebbes. All right? And this is going to promote, this horse winning is going to promote these people and put them up on the, and people are going to think they're blessed. When this was happening, and I didn't know that a Jewish guy owned it, and that wouldn't have bothered me so. A Jewish guy owned it, it's not a big deal, but he'd still be a Jewish horse. But the circumstances around it is why I call it the devil's horse, because it is blessing. The devil's using it to bring attention to Menachem Schneerson and to these apostate Talmudic Jews and let you believe they're on the top of the blessed hierarchy. Now, before I knew that, I wanted American Farrell to win because you haven't had a Triple Crown winner in a long time. A lot of people naturally may want that. But when I heard it was a day before or 2 days before the race, the Belmont Stakes, I found out about this, that first of all, the owner's a Jew. That's not the biggest deal in the world. He was born in Egypt, raised in Egypt, but he's a Jew. And what I found out, this Victor Espinoza went before the Menachem Schneerson guy and prayed to him to get a blessing. And then I said to the brothers, guess what, brothers? This is a curse. It's really a curse, but the devil's going to use this to promote the Lubavitch Rebbe. Now I believe 90% of me tells me this horse is going to win. He's going to win because God is allowing the Antichrist to come to power. He's given him victories for many years now, and they're succeeding in many things. And I said, no doubt, I really believe they're going to succeed by winning this Triple Crown. And it's going to now bring attention to this Menachem Schneerson, the Lubavitch Rebbes, and more important, Talmudic Judaism, as the top of the hierarchy of blessed and holy people. And then after that, I said, now I want them to lose. Now I really want them to lose. I didn't want them to lose before. Now I want them to lose. And I said, but guess what? I really don't believe he's going to lose now. Almost if you had $1 million, put it on this horse, because the fix is in, as the saying goes. The fix is in. The devil supported this horse and God allowed it. Now, before we go on with this, I'm going to make a little comment about people who think that the devil doesn't get involved in sports. The devil gets involved in everything. Everything in this earth that he can get involved in, that God allows him to get involved in, he does. And here's my point. The devil puts curses on teams. You have owners probably hiring witches and warlocks and seeing whose witch and whose warlock is more powerful than the other guy's witch and warlock. And they're putting curses on one another, on sporting teams. They definitely do it. Even fans do it unknowingly, maybe. They don't realize how bad it is, but it really is. In the stands, the Italians used to do, they call it the maloikis. And it looks like the devil sign, you know, with the two fingers up. And they put the two fingers down and they shake it. Mm-hmm. And they call it the maloikis. The people try to put a curse on the opposing team so that they drop the football, they don't make the kick, somebody gets hurt on the team, or something happens where it turns to their favor. But my point is, this is no small thing. That's the small level. At the big level, these owners or people that know the owners or gambling people that have a lot of money on the game, they hire warlocks, they hire witches, and they definitely put curses on opposing teams. And depending on who's got the more powerful witch or warlock, then you see... Now, first of all, if God doesn't allow the curses to happen, and a lot of times he doesn't, then it doesn't happen. It doesn't take effect. The game goes as it should, without the devil intervening. Because if the devil gets involved in a game, and God allows him to do it, and the devil can have any side win that he wants. You could be playing cards, and the devil could... poker. And if the devil's helping you, you can draw a royal flush every time in a row. 100% every time in a row. If God allows the devil to do it, and you won't even know how he's doing it. The dealer would be dealing, and you're getting a royal flush, and the dealer's not even fixing the cards. That's how powerful the devil is. I have firsthand proof of many of these things. I don't want to get too deep into that now, or we'll be here along in another sermon. I'm making a general point, though, that curses do occur in sporting arenas, along with a lot of other things in this world. And if God allows the curse to take effect, it will. And the team that is being cursed is going to drop the ball at the most stupid moments. The other team, they're going to throw a ball that should never be caught. They'd say, how did that ever happen, man? And they caught the thing. And a lot of things happen in games like that where curses are involved. I say, this just shows you how bad we're living in this fallen world, because they ruin sports even. A true sporting game in this paradise to come, when Christ comes and gives us the new earthly paradise and a new Jerusalem on earth, and this is the way it was meant to be in the Garden of Eden, a true sporting event, God doesn't intervene, because of course if God intervenes, then he's over the devil. God overrides the devil. And a lot of these things too, when the devil's putting curses on, God intervenes and prevents the curse, and he comes in and helps the other team to try to neutralize it. So God a lot of times intervenes to prevent the curse from taking place, or he never allows the curse to take place in the first place. But a true sporting event in this world, if you want to, and sometimes they're out there, God doesn't let the devil get, no, God doesn't get involved, nor does the devil. It's pure talent and luck. You can use the word luck for sports, just like when you roll the dice. I'll give you an example. If I roll the dice and God gets involved, and God wants me to roll a six, I'm going to roll a six every time. Or if the devil wants me to do it and God allows him, I'm going to roll a six every time. If the devil and God doesn't get involved, it's pure luck. I roll that dice and it comes out to whatever it is. That's fair. That's what we call being fair. And in sports, but we're not living in a fair world. So when the devil puts curses on teams, a lot of time God intervenes too. And he also has the other team defeat that curse. He'll even let the curse take place a little bit. And then God comes in and his team ends up repelling that curse and winning. This is true beyond a doubt. I noticed from firsthand evidence on... So that's the ideal. And that's what God really wants for sporting events. He doesn't want... He wants it to be fair, where it's based upon talent. And he'll always tell you, when you have two good teams playing, the one's going to win who makes the less mistakes and who's lucky. Anybody who watches sports knows there's a lot of times lucky shots happen. Now, lucky shots sometimes happen just by themselves, by luck. But a lot of times, which people don't see, the devil gets involved. And if God allows the devil to put the curse on a team or to bless a certain horse, the devil gives his blessings. You can call it an anti-blessing, you know. But he does give. And this is what happened in this race, that the devil was protecting his horse. God allowed it because his jockey made it public that he went to this Rebbe to pray. To win, and God's allowing it because he's going to give the Antichrist to come to power. And the whole world, there's a lot of stuff that goes on in the background. People are in secret societies and witches and warlocks right now who do this stuff know about it. They do know it. And there's always a battle. Who's the most powerful warlock? Who's the most powerful witch? The most powerful warlocks and witches, and you call them really warlocks, are men, and it's the Jewish rebbes that practice the Kabbalah and the Zohar. These are the top level warlocks. They have the most power, and everybody knows it. That's why they're all afraid of them. A lot of people get involved in different forms of witchcraft, Freemasonry and everything else. They know that a lot of them go over to learn the Kabbalah. But the Jews never really going to give a Gentile the full power of the Kabbalah. That's their thing. You have to be Jewish in race and Talmudic Jewish in belief. And that's the most powerful of all. So everybody's going to say the Jews are the ones that are the top, what they say, of the blessed hierarchy. They have the most power coming from above. They're blessed from above. Now, we're going to read the article about what happened here. So the reason I'm calling this a devil's horse is not because a Jewish guy owns it. If a Jewish guy owns it, I would just call it a Jewish horse. A Jew guy can own a horse. It's a Jewish. People are going to laugh. Rich is a hurt. He's calling a horse a Jew, you know. We call our animals Catholic dogs, okay? Now, I'm not saying they have souls, okay? So don't get bent out of shape, all right, when I mention this. Now, I call the devil's horse because the fact that they've gone to this Rebbe and they had blessings put down upon them so the horse would win. Now, we know this Jewish Rebbe's, what did the Lord say about the unbelieving Jews in John 8:45? Your father is the devil. So he's really going to the devil. That's why we call it devil's horse, to get a blessing. And the horse won, and everybody knows this now. It's throughout the whole world. And if you don't know it, the Jews are going to make sure you know. They're going to shove it in your face. But let me just read the article about what happened here on these events. And it's from the CBS2, CBS New York. Exclusive: American Pharoah's jockey looks to higher power before Belmont Stakes. The Belmont Stakes is a kind of place where luck looms large. But the team behind American Pharoah is hedging its bets by looking in a little help from above. Above. Actually, below. But, of course, they fly around in the air and all that, so they make themselves look like gods. See, this is the deception of the devil. Upside up is down and down is up, right? So, mm-hmm. St. Paul speaks about how devils fly around in high places. Quote, "Put you on the armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the deceits of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the world of this darkness, against the spirits of wickedness in high places." That was Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 to 12. And he also says, "Satan himself transformeth himself into an angel of light." And that's 2 Corinthians 11:14. Jockey Victor Espinoza, who was hoping to make history by riding the first Triple Crown winner horse in 37 years, took a spiritual journey. Now, mind you, this guy's a nominal Catholic. This reminds you of a JP2, John Paul II, and all these Vatican II people do when they pray with the Jews. They would love what he did here. He's just obeying the church he belongs to, the Vatican II Church. He took a spiritual journey in Queens on Thursday. CBS2's Carolyn Gusoff exclusively reported, Espinoza visited the gravesite of the Grand Lubavitch. I call them the Lubavitches. They don't like it tough. Come on, let's have a fight. Let's go at it. See who's going to win in the end. We are, not you, you bums. Yeah, you can have some minor victories. Fine. Even if you did kill me, I'll be a martyr. Espinoza visited the gravesite of the Grand Lubavitcher Rebbe Menachem Schneerson, considered one of the most influential Jewish leaders in the 20th century. Hundreds of thousands come to the cemetery every year, 24/7, to pray. See how important this is, this whole event, people? Espinoza opened a prayer book, recited Psalms, wrote out his message, and added his to a mountain of prayers at the sacred site. Espinoza is not Jewish, but spiritual. You know, people say, I'm spiritual. What does that mean? Everybody's spiritual, but in what way? What spirit guides you? There's only two spirits, of God and of the devil. And only Catholics have the spirit of God. Everyone who's a non-Catholic has the spirit of the devil, whether they like it or not. But these guys have the triple portion of the spirit of the devil, the full portion of the spirit of the devil, these apostate Jews. So he says, Espinoza is not Jewish, but spiritual. He said after receiving a blessing from a rabbi at the Preakness last month, he scheduled a detour from his regular race prep for the Belmont. Here's what he said. So much energy right here. So much, after he got the blessing, so much energy right here, he said. It would kind of build you up right here. It's like good energy drinks, end quote. After he got a blessing from this apostate Talmudic Antichrist rabbi, he got this energy. Now here's another point I'm going to make before I go on reading this article. The devil can make you calm. He can make you, if God allows him. The devil can make you calm, he can make you agitated, he can make you smart, he can make you dumb if God allows him. Of course, anything the devil does, God does better because the power comes from God. God can do that too. And here's the point I'm making. Sometimes God doesn't want you to be calm. He wants you to be agitated and perturbed because there's something wrong in your life or in the surrounding environment. So he wants you to be perturbed. The devil then tries to come in and make you calm, to say, no, there's nothing wrong, Rich, don't worry about it. You're not sinning. You're not doing anything wrong, or there's nothing wrong in the environment. Sometimes God wants you to be calm. So God makes you calm. The devil then wants to come in and make you perturbed or disturbed. He wants to come in and disturb you, make think you're doing something wrong when you're not. Well, the devil has that same power. God gives him that power to do the same thing. So we say the devil gives gifts just like God does. We call it anti-grace. But the devil definitely gives people gifts of calmness, of confidence, or making them a guy who's really confident one day going to being very incompetent and very confused and very perturbed in his mind. The devil can do that if God lets him, and he does. And see, the point I'm making on this is a lot of people that are going to these traditional chapels where they really do have the Holy Eucharist, the blessed body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and are sacrilegiously bringing it down upon their altars and sacrilegiously receiving it, they walk out and they say, I feel consoled. I got this warm, great feeling. Be careful what you lay at the foot of the Lord. That's not from God. Because in this case, God will not bless you for receiving sacrilegiously and for being an apostate, an idolater, or a heretic. That feeling you get is from the devil. And I'll give you an example in this race. We've seen it. When American Pharoah, and they were race bringing the horses out, he was the calmest horse I've ever seen. You could be, they even said it. No horse could be calmer than him. He's calm, he's confident, he's not even flinching. The jockey was calm and confident. Now, the only reason I can say I know that came from the devil is because of what this jockey did and because of the owner. The owner's an Orthodox Jew also. And after what this jockey did, now I know where that gift came from. It came from the devil. The devil can give gifts of knowledge and make people very musically proficient and very smart. It doesn't always come from God. A lot of it at times comes from the devil. And then you use those gifts for his purpose in the end. So watch out about this thing. This is just a warning to a lot of people. Say, every time I get a good feeling, and because I think I'm doing good, you're not. The word of God says, there is a way that seemeth to a man right, and the ends thereof lead to death. And that was Proverbs 16:25. And there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet they are not washed from their filthiness. Proverbs 13:12. If God was really inspiring you when you received the Holy Eucharist sacrilegiously, to make you feel like a rotten wretch, something very wrong with you. But you know, in the end, we look at the long effects of what happens to these traditionalists when they're going to this. They get that temporary good feeling that a drug can even give you. But when they go home during the week, they sin like pigs. They never stop sinning. Here we are. We haven't received the Holy Eucharist in I don't know how long. But God is blessing us because we're willing to make that sacrifice by putting the faith above the sacrament. And so we're living a perfect and holy life. Anytime we do sin, God brings it to our mind. He doesn't let the devil fool us. We feel guilty. We confess it. We come forward and we're living that Catholic life. That's one way these people who are receiving sacrilegiously and get that cozy feeling could be warned about. But I'm just showing you right here how the devil can make somebody very confident and very cool. And if God allows him, the devil can go in here and take somebody who's normally very confident and very cool and make him very unconfident and very confused and very perturbed in his mind. The devil can do all this. If God allows him. And in this case, once what we're reading, what's going on with this guy, he's saying, I got so much energy from this Rebbe. And he's testifying to the power and wants people to believe how blessed and holy the Lubavitch Rebbes are and Menachem Schneerson. He wants you to believe how holy this guy is. Now, Victor Espinosa, when he got a blessing from the rabbi in the Preakness, said, so much energy right here. Here's another rabbi saying this. The resting place of a righteous person is a sacred place, said the rabbi Mati Seligson of the Chabad organization. That's their organization. In Lubavitch is called the Chabad. Now he's saying, this is a sacred place. This man's righteous. This man's holy. Now they're setting it up. He won the Preakness. Now he won the Triple Crown. Now people are going to go flooding, see? And the people in the background already know the Jews are getting the top favors. Anything they say is coming to pass. Almost 90% of the time, whatever the Jew says comes to pass. So they all think the Jews are being blessed. But I tell you again, how else does Antichrist rule the whole world unless he has this power? The book of Apocalypse, chapter 13, verses 4 to 8 says that the Antichrist has power over all nations. It says, they adored the beast, saying, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over every tribe and people and tongue and nation. And all that dwell upon the earth adored him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, which was slain from the foundation of the world.
But if you're reading the scriptures and you see the power he has in the world, that's not from God, it's from the Antichrist. And they're getting their power from the devil. And God's allowing it as a punishment for men's sins because they would not follow him. Look, he goes like this. It says also, this is said by Mike Weitz, Espinosa's publicist. He believes with God's help and the Rebbe interceding for him that he's going to be a very successful and very safe. There it is. And God allowed the devil to give him this confidence. Just watch the race. Watch the horse before, how calm he was and how calm the guy. I never seen a horse so calm. They said it. The people were yelling so loud. And this horse was just calm. And he's right from the beginning, see? Now, here's the whole thing set up. Now, it says prayers for Pharaoh may be the first at the site, but worshipers welcomed Espinoza. Jewish, not Jewish. No matter what your faith is, it's always good to turn to God, one man said. No matter what your faith is, what God are you turning to? You're going to Jews that deny Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. This guy, Espinosa, is supposed to believe Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He's praying to a guy who said he's the Messiah and Christ is a phony. What kind of hypocrisy this is? He got this from the Vatican II Church, but he's still guilty because I never go for that. I never went for that from day one. You either believe in one thing, or even other people that have different religions go, you either believe in one thing or you believe in the other. You can't believe in both. Unless he's a schizophrenic god. There's multiple gods up there. So he's saying, American Pharaoh's owners also answer to a higher authority. Here we get with their owners. They're called the Zayats. Ahmed Zayat is the owner, and his son Justin Zayat is the manager of his stables. The Zayats were raised in Egypt as observant Jews. His father was the doctor of Anwar Sadat. Ahmed Zayat grew up in a wealthy suburb of Cairo, where his father was Egyptian President Anwar Sadat's doctor. After graduating from Yeshiva University, Zayat worked for the Haredi Orthodox real estate developer Zev Wolfson. Zayat went to college in the United States and then worked for Wolfson, a wealthy real estate entrepreneur and major Jewish philanthropist. And he also, this guy Ahmed Zayat, gives donations to Jewish causes, a lot of money to Jewish causes. And he had a lot of money in Egypt. And so the Egyptian guy's got a Jew right next to him, giving him counsel, as always, you know. On race day, which is the Sabbath, it was the seventh weekday, the family will abstain from driving in observance and will camp overnight in luxury RVs on Belmont's grounds. Quote, we have a value system in our life, and that is priority in our family, said Ahmed Zayat, who lives in Teaneck, New Jersey. His stables are in Hackensack, New Jersey, and it's called Zayat Stables. God comes first, then family, country, and all others. You can put horse racing in them, end quote. If prayers are answered, an American Pharaoh delivers a long-awaited miracle. Espinoza said it's okay with him if a pilgrimage to the Rebbe's gravesite becomes a new Belmont steak tradition. And in other words, there, that's the main thing we're talking about right here. Now you can see the setup. So now when I heard this the day before the race, I think I found out just the day before the race, their brothers told me about it. Brother Philip told me about it. Sister Marie looked it up. I went, uh-oh, now I don't want the guy to win. This is the devil's horse. And I said, but guess what, brothers? 90% of me tells me he's going to win now because God's allowing Antichrist to come to power and he wants to exalt this thing and he wants to point everybody towards this rabbi and put him up on a pedestal. Now, we're going to come up with some interesting things that happened after this. I'm watching the race and of course he won and he won it decisively. He won really big time. But as soon as he ended the horse race and the guy comes up with the other horse to interview him with the microphone, he comes up beside of him and here's what Victor Espinoza says. You hear him saying, holy shit. And I said, our God allowed that to happen because even though Victor Espinoza thinks the Rebbe Menachem Schneerson is holy, he's actually a shit because there's really no such thing as a holy shit. What he should have said, to be truthful, is unholy shit because that's what the Rebbe Menachem Schneerson is. And I said, God allowed that to happen. And it was, and ABC, was it CBS? After it apologized that they let it come out, let me read the article on it. It says, you'll hear, first you'll hear it. Let's play the tape.
He did it! American Pharaoh has ended the 37-year drought to a deafening roar from the fans here at Belmont Park.
Now we're going to read from an article. American Pharaoh jockey claims holy SH, they leave out the IT, following the Triple Crown win by James Dater. Victor Espinoza is known for his emotional post-race commentary. After the Kentucky Derby, he announced he was the world's luckiest Mexican. Following the Triple Crown, it was a little simpler, just a holy SHIT. Holy shit, is what he actually said. NBC apologized for broadcasting the potty language, but this is exactly what horse racing needs. It's not potty language. There's nothing wrong with saying shit, okay? Shit, you can say dung, you can say crap. Get rid of me, you righties. Run away from me if you think shit's a bad word, all right? Then don't say dung. Strike it out of the Bible, or don't say crap, all right? This is pretty much stoic righties we grew up with, okay? You use, even in the press, they say a lot of other things, right? You can show transgenders, you can have naked people on TV, but don't say shit. I agree, there's certain words that are bad. That's not one of them, okay? You can call it crap, you can call it dung. In the Bible, they call it dung. The Germans call it scheißen. They have a different word in every language for it, okay? So you guys want to get angry because I'm using the word shit, that's your problem. Get away from me. I don't want you to come near me, all right? But the main point I'm saying in here is that when he said holy shit, I went, how appropriate? That's what the Lubavitches are promoting. They're full of shit, really. Now, the other thing, too, if you were watching this, they were promoting, and they got a lot of money for this, monster drinks. And monster drinks symbol is the Hebrew number 666. This is an audio, so you can't see it, but look it up. Look at the Hebrew number 6 and look at the monster drink symbol. And they were wearing it all over the place, the 666. Indeed, this horse ran like the devil, or more appropriately, ran for the devil. And this so-called blessing is going to make people, a lot of people, if they don't see things correctly, say that this Menachem Schneerson and these Lubavitch Jews and the Talmudic Jews are the most blessed people on the whole earth. We're going to start to go to them instead of the other gods. In the end, the Antichrist wants everybody to come to him. Okay, so I end this lecture by saying, be careful. Not everything that looks like it's blessed is blessed, but a lot of times it's a curse. And just because somebody's stronger, because he wins, or because he's powerful, or because he gets a favor, does not mean it's from God. In this world, most of the time, it means it's from the devil. So be careful. This American feral Jewish horse ran like the devil, and he ran for the devil, and he's cursed. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.